probably twofold. It's one is mindset, growth and personal achievement mindset, but the probably more prevalent and what I usually talk to people about on interviews is creative thinking.
This is another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. My guest today is Bob Sager. And Bob is the host and chief innovator behind, I'm probably going to say this wrong, Outthink the Competition podcast, right? And then your consulting company is called Spearpoint Solutions. And Bob is an expert on getting business owners to think creatively and to implement innovation practices. So Bob, thank you for joining me.
Hey, my pleasure to be here, Michael.
That was a pretty good introduction considering I didn't practice it before.
Well, a lot of people are winging it these days.
I think I'm better that way. It would be bad if I scripted it. So we met through a mutual acquaintance, which is Tim Allison from Screw This Naysayers podcast. And I think we've both been guests on Tim's podcast.
Yeah.
So I was excited to talk to you today, and we've had kind of some offline discussions around creativity and innovation. I guess, first of all, what's the sort of work that you do and who's the typical person that you serve?
Well, I really do two different kinds of work. One, we do a lot of training with various size companies and organizations around creative thinking methodologies and how to apply those practically in business to find better solutions. And that's really important. It's really important work because as human beings, we develop habitual thinking patterns. And so you can put a lot of effort into thought, but if you developed a thinking pattern, it's like you're driving 100 miles an hour around a circle freeway. You always end up in the same spot, no matter how fast you go. And so those creative thinking methods help people take an exit ramp off that circular freeway so that they can explore new territory. So that's really important. The second thing that we do is, the training's important. It's helpful. But a lot of companies tell me, look, we need some better solutions now. And so I use my 30 plus years in business, my study of human beings and combine that with my creative thinking and develop strategies that differentiate them in the marketplace so that they're not viewed just as a commodity. So, and we're actually, if you want to talk about this, we're launching something pretty cool around those strategies that's going to be, it's going to be live probably within a week from this conversation.
Yeah, cool. I think we were talking about this offline. So your normal work is probably, there's limited Bobs, right? Bobs is from job. But in a sense, what you're talking about is, some people can hire you directly as an expensive consultant and have that direct mentorship. But for those that don't, in smaller companies, what you were describing was like an online version of the program, right?
Yeah, exactly. And what it's going to be, the way I look at it, Michael, is it's sort of strategies as a service. In that, if you hired me directly, you're going to pay, upwards of 10 grand for me to develop a strategy for you. And while that's worth every penny, there are a lot of companies that need it that can't necessarily afford that. So the service that we're launching is every 30 days for our subscribers, they're going to get access to 5 new strategies. They're not proprietary to them, but they're easily adaptable to various business models. And so, and it's a fraction of the 10 grand for a year subscription. So it's going to be a super value that's going to help a lot of companies in a big way.
Oh, that's very interesting, because I think right now we're obviously in the middle of a weird global event with, a lockdown and pandemic, and hopefully we're close to the end of the first phase of it. I guess we'll find out.
Let's hope, right?
But I think what it has accentuated is people that have been kind of running on old business models or old business structures are under the most pressure right now. So there's probably this number one, there's time and space to think about, okay, what's my go forward plan? So I think that's a great opportunity to, you know, work with someone like you or to adopt this program where they can start thinking, okay, what's my 10-year game plan here? How do I become more innovative? Because my old model has just been limited or crushed. So that's probably one opportunity, right?
Yeah, for sure. And look, the reality is competitors are going to copy you. When you're doing something that works, they're going to copy you, you know, and while you might know you're the original, a lot of times customers don't. And so if competitors are copying you and you're perceived in the marketplace as exactly the same as everybody else, now all of a sudden you're a commodity and you got one basis for competing, and that's price. And that is a losing game that no smart business person wants to play that game.
That makes total sense. When I think of one book that I always think back to is Peter Thiel. And I don't know if you've read Zero to One.
I have.
And I think what's interesting about that model, it sounds consistent with what you're saying, is he says, look, you want your own monopoly. It's not that you're like a traditional monopoly, but you've got your innovative thing that's people recognize it as your thing, your solution. And I think that's what you're trying to drive at, which is, here's how you get to that innovative thing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And look, competitors can copy you, but they can't read your mind. Right. If you are continually innovating, and I think it's a must in today's world, especially in light of recent circumstances, if you're continually innovating, you're always going to stay at least one step ahead. And even if your innovations aren't quantum leap innovations, even if it's just sort of what I call everyday innovations, it's still enough of a separation in the minds and perception of the consumer that you're not going to really be viewed as having that competition.
That makes total sense to me. I have been talking increasingly, especially with, you know, I mentioned to you the Founders Pack and the Startup and Grow program around creating an impactful venture. And I think what you're describing is there's two ways to hit that. One is you do something that is got a long new demand curve over the next 10, 20 years. It aligns with new technology. But then there's also those opportunities where you're describing, which is, okay, let's innovate enough that it's like a feature or a capabilities improvement on an existing demand curve.
Well, and sometimes it can even be the manner in which you deliver it. So, you know, it's sort of become fashionable for people to sort of conflate technology with the word innovation.
True.
But really, all innovation is doing something better.
Right.
Doing something better, taking another step forward in whatever it happens to be. It could be efficiencies, it could be delivery, it could be how you market, it could be how you relate to your employees to keep them more engaged. Whatever it happens to be, that they're all innovations because they're all improvements. So while I think technology is important and it's making our lives amazing, what a fortunate time that we are to be alive right now, that's not the only kind of innovation. So it's important to think about things and think about them in ways that others aren't.
So take me through, like, what's your typical high-level process? Like, how does someone go from doing the same old thing to thinking creatively and innovating?
You know, we've got a process that we work through with our clients. I call it finding hidden gems. And what we do with that process, and we teach a live training fun shop on this too, is we take and we'll list every asset that person or that company has or has access to. And then we'll take and we'll ask innovative, creative thinking questions. We'll apply each one of those methods to that. And we'll often find underutilized assets or maybe even not utilized assets. You know, with one client I worked with, they had a financial services company. And they found that their training space and their conference room space was not, probably 95% of the time, close to 95% of the time, was not being used. And so what they did is they made that space available to anybody that essentially needed a training or meeting space. What that did is it drove a whole lot of people into their office. They charged a minor fee for it, way less than you could rent the comparable space elsewhere. And because people were coming through the door and looking around and going, oh, hey, you know, you guys do 401ks and life insurance and college funds, and they picked up so many more new clients because of that one simple strategy, identifying that asset as being so underutilized, and they were paying for it anyway. So why not utilize it in smarter ways, right?
Makes total sense. How often does, you know, it's like I go through a workshop or, you know, direct consulting, how often do you recommend, or how often do the leaders of these companies revisit this? How do they incorporate it into their regular, you know, kind of approach to strategy, I guess?
Right. Well, I think one of the things that you need to do is, yeah, I heard a long time ago, if you're going to come up with good ideas, you got to come up with a lot of ideas. And so I think it's important to keep what I would call an ideas bank. So whether that's, you know, once a month, once a quarter, a couple of times a year, you've got to continually be keeping your mind fresh and always seeking out new ideas and solutions, because you never know when you're going to have to pivot, right? That's so evident in today's world.
Oh, yeah.
And companies who do that, companies who are continually innovating, those are the ones that are less affected by what's happening now than those who were just sort of status quo.
That makes total sense. So build it in as a regular practice, it sounds like, and don't lose ideas. Have a way to document and share those with the team, it sounds like.
Oh, it's so important. You know, in all the, I think I mentioned before briefly, or I alluded to, we call our training fun shops.
Right. Yeah.
I call them fun shops, Michael, because they're not work.
Right.
Most people think of work as a four-letter word, but work really can be pretty invigorating. A few years ago, I invented a creative thinking game called What's the Big Idea? And we use that. Without going into the whole process here, we use that as a way to play with coming up with new ideas. It's friendly, competitive. And there's a structure to it. But when you have those three elements, you've got some structure, it's fun, and it's friendly, competitive. It's astounding how productive that can be and fun at the same time. And because, you know, people are laughing and having a good time, what they're learning, the creative thinking methods that they're learning through that, sticks with them a lot better. And so when they need it, when they're under pressure, they have that, it bubbles back up to the surface, that methodology that we train them on then.
I like it. That's really interesting. Keeps things fresh and then keep new ideas flowing. How do you avoid, minimizing the impact or picking the wrong new innovative idea? How do you evaluate one idea versus another? Is that part of your process, or what do you see?
Well, it's not necessarily part of my process, although it can be.
Yeah.
And I think, there's I'm sure you're familiar with what's called a SWOT analysis. You know, anytime that you're contemplating an innovation, you ought to be doing that. As long as you're not focusing so much on the downside. Because I think when you mentally just, when you're focusing on the downside, you can get really caught up in that, and it can paralyze you with fear that, we're making a big error here. So, I think one of the values in companies really becoming prosperous is you can make some missteps when you're there. And as long as you learn from those missteps and continually moving forward as opposed to just being paralyzed, then I think it's okay. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think, I guess there's two different, I think of idea validation as really important part or stage of the process, which is how do I know there's market fit of this idea? So I was just curious, it doesn't sound like that's really the issue. The issue you're tackling is you're not even thinking creatively, you're coming up with the same old, ideas that everybody else has, and your process is definitely effective for breaking through that and putting ideas on the table consistently.
Right, absolutely. And look, there are three factors that go into that. I call them the key. It's knowledge, experience, and imagination. So it's key, it's just not K-E-Y, it's K-E-I. Oh. And so when you're combining those three things, and there's a lot that goes into knowledge. I think what the heck do consumers want? That's a big part of knowledge. And you ought to be studying that on a regular basis. And I think what technology is available, right? That's something you ought to be studying on a regular basis, because all that sort of goes into the hopper, so that when you plug imagination and creative thinking methods into that, then that knowledge and experience starts to take on a whole new luster.
That makes total sense. I want to be conscious of your time, Bob. So a couple of things. One, I think you've written a book, right? Is that older? Is that
three of them, actually? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. remind us what the books are that we should look for.
Well, my first book is called, it's a personal achievement book. It's called Discovering Your Greatness, and it's subtitled A Higher Level Thinking and Action Guide. And my most recent book is a creative thinking book called 101 Freaking Brilliant Business Ideas and 10 Ways You Can Create Your Own.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, so there are 101, I call them kind of, it's kind of like a box of chocolates, Michael. It's a little bit of everything.
Okay.
Right? Business ideas, marketing ideas, there's a little bit of everything in there. I was interviewed on a podcast a little while back, and we were talking about one. It's called Pizza as a Service. And you can grasp that one, and it's so that's fully laid out. Yeah, that's a pretty big deal, right? But there are also 10 different creative thinking methods described in there that you can utilize and apply in your business, even if you don't hire me.
Oh, I love it. Okay, and where do we find those books? Are they all on Amazon?
They're both on Amazon.
Great. Okay, how do people get in touch with you, Bob?
They can either reach out to me on LinkedIn. That's probably the best way. Bobsager. I think I might be only one of two Bob Sagers on LinkedIn.
Oh, there you go. Not to be confused with Bob Saget. It's Bob Sager.
No, definitely not. And it's not. It's Sager.
Perfect.
Sager. And but look, if you do linkedin.com/in/bobsager, that's me.
We'll
the other thing, and people can, of course, visit our website, which is spearpointonline.com. But LinkedIn is, if people want to reach out to me directly, LinkedIn is probably the best way.
Awesome. Okay, a couple of things. So first off, if you are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with, who are you, Bob, spending the most time with?
Oh, my gosh. At one, I completely agree with that. And I had the good fortune early in my life to quit a job without having another one to go to. And that led me down a completely different career path than I ever had in mind. And, I've had the good fortune to be around people that are million-dollar earners and multi-million-dollar earners. And I can attest that you do become like the people that you spend a lot of time with. And that opportunity allowed me to transform my mindset from one of scarcity to one of abundance and possibility. And when you get around people like that, Michael, that expect bigger and achieve bigger, it just becomes something that you start expecting.
I totally agree.
Yeah, it's that you are so spot on with that. I don't know who said that first.
I'm not sure either, but okay. So who are the five people?
What's that?
Who are the five people that you're spending the most time?
Well, one was probably my primary mentor named Bill Mitchell. And he's a multi-million dollar earner in financial services industry. That's one. Scott Krager is another. He's the CEO of a company out in California that's in a lot of different industries.
Yeah, we interviewed Scott. His episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. No, Scott's a great guy. So many other business leaders. Those are the two that immediately come to mind, though.
Cool. How are you, Bob, changing the world?
I'm getting people to get out of their own way in terms of thinking. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. And I think when you change the way you think, you change the way you perceive the world. When your expectations and awareness are heightened, I think that's probably what I'm bringing to the table more than anything else, is helping people expect more and achieve more.
I love it. That is very, very important, because I think we all get stuck with Paleolithic emotions, even though we have godlike technology.
Right.
I've been sticking with me lately, but.
And I'll tell you something, just sort of in closing here. You know, I did a training event. This is probably 3 months ago for a company that was, they had their regional franchisees in, and I was doing a training event for them. The founder of the company, we were talking prior to the training. He said, you know, did you bring your own computer? Do you need a computer? I said, well, actually, we're going to access the most powerful supercomputer on the planet today. And he stopped and he thought about it for a second. He goes, oh, yeah, right here, right? That's the most powerful supercomputer.